Welcome to our Chair Recruitment Podcast. My name is Caroline Bish. I'm Director of Marketing, Digital Communications and Advancement at SRUC, Scotland's Rural College. Now, I imagine you're listening to this because you're possibly interested in learning more about the role of the SRUC Chair and you're maybe thinking of applying. But you might also be one of our many brilliant students and colleagues who are interested in finding out more about the role so that when the time comes to vote for a candidate, you can make an informed decision. Well, I'm joined on this podcast with the best possible person to guide you on this journey, and that is Sandy Cummings, CBE, who is our outgoing board chair. So welcome, Sandy.
Thanks, Caroline. I'm very pleased to be here and to be of any assistance in the recruitment of my successor.
Sandy, you've got a really interesting work history. You came from beginnings as a graduate research student and you worked at the Highlands and Islands Development Board. You've been a fisheries economist, a strategic planner, a two-time CEO, and you've had a variety of non-executive roles. And to top that off, you were awarded a CBE in 2003 for your services to economic development. And that's a really rich history of working across various disciplines. And that gives you an experience and a skill set that's really fascinating in the role of a chair. How do you feel that's brought benefit for SRUC? And what should other candidates be looking to bring to the table as they describe their skills?
Thanks, Caroline. I regard myself as truly very blessed because I grew up on a farm in the Highlands, and so I got a good basic understanding of farming and all its parts and the critical role that communities play in terms of economic development. I then studied agricultural economics in Edinburgh, and I then joined the Highlands and Islands Development Board, where there was a mission, there was a passion to try and create economic and social development throughout the area. And fundamental to that was the role of agriculture, land use, and the whole land-related economy. So I was very fortunate doing that. And then I had the good fortune of becoming the chief exec of the successor body, Highlands and Islands Enterprise. And that brought me more onto a national stage because as the accountable officer for an organization with an annual budget of over £100 million with a staff of 600, I had very much to be accountable to the Scottish government at the time. So I got to know how the government operated. I had many contacts at a senior level and still have with the civil service. And I got to know other people in the public sector. But not only that, I actually got to know a great deal of the business community as well. So strong in networking, deep understanding of the public machine. And I felt that I was very fortunate when the board chair opportunity came up at SRUC, because by that stage, I'd already been 6 years as a non-executive director. So I think in some ways, I hit the ground running. I'd served as chair of the Finance and General Purposes Committee. I had been a member of the Remuneration Committee. I'd served on the Audit Committee. So I sort of knew the organization fairly well. And therefore, I tried to bring forward into my role as chair the learning I took out of particularly my time as a chief executive myself, and also the learning I took as being a non-executive in the boardroom. And can I say to you that the most important direction of travel for me when I started out as chair of SRUC was to enable the organization to fully address the concept of the Higher Education Governance Act, Scotland 2016, which required higher education institutes to very much comply with some various rules and regulations. And that was my mission. And I felt that with the support of the board and the principal and the executive leadership team, we actually made some real change. And we've now got a much stronger governance platform in order to take the organization forward. So it's been an incredibly exciting journey for me. I'm deeply sorry to be standing down, but it's a time for change. And it's a time to pass the baton on to someone else.
That leads me perfectly into my question, my next question for you, Sandy, really, which is, it sounds like when you joined the board, you knew what needed to happen that would help SIUC to have that kind of firm governance footing in order that it could be almost more audacious and ambitious when it's firmly rooted in good governance. There's a lot that we can do. What do you think SIUC needs at this point from the chair and the board at this stage in its journey?
Yes, it's a different role. I'm not convinced I would have the necessary experience or skill set to actually to qualify this time as a board candidate. I think going ahead, there's a very important quality, which is a very deep understanding of tertiary education. I've learned that over the last 10, 20 years, and particularly as chair here, but I think we need someone that's got some very clear experience in tertiary education. We also need someone that can actually lead an organization through change, because change has been all around us for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's going to go further and deeper in the years ahead. I look back over the last 10 years, Caroline, and I think, wow, we've come a long way as SRUC in the last 10 years. But I guarantee over the next 10 years, the pace of change and the actual impacts that SRUC are going to make are going to be much greater and more visible. So it's about a different form of leadership that's needed going forward. And the one thing that the person coming into my seat will actually inherit is an incredibly dynamic executive leadership team led by Professor Wayne Powell and an excellent set of non-executive directors within the boardroom. And together, by actually bringing that two together, we've got an extremely effective leadership team.
That's a really compelling response, Sandy. I was going to ask you a bit more about the board itself and how you would describe it to a potential candidate, or even to staff and students who don't know much about our board. What kinds of backgrounds and experiences are in the boardroom that any new chair would be able to draw on?
I was reflecting before we started this interview, Caroline, that actually, in terms of the current boardroom, none of the non-execs were actually in the boardroom at the time of my appointment. That might sound a little bit actually surprising, but it's because we firmly believe in succession and in terms of changing the board in order to modernize it and evolve to suit the needs of the organization. We have got a wealth of knowledge. If you look at the particular improvements and enhancements that came out of the Act, the Higher Education Governance Act, was the creation of seats in the boardroom for two elected student members, two elected trade union representatives, and two elected staff members. Now, I have to say, they have made a huge difference. This diversity, their ability to actually speak with such knowledge and passion for the organization has been greatly added to the overall impact of the board. And combine that with another group of 12 appointed non-executive directors, then we've got a really brilliant board. I think that in the appointed directors, we've got a diverse range of skills. In the last few years, we've deliberately gone into the market and tried to add to the experience and expertise from the tertiary sector. So we've got a former principal of a leading Scottish university. We've got the former chief executive of a Scottish college. We've got people who've lectured in further education. We've got people who've lectured in higher education. And alongside these, we've got people with relevant business skills. We've got people who run their own agribusinesses. We've got an expert in public relations and marketing. We've got a chartered forester. We've got someone who understands the public sector and the government machine very well indeed. So there's a whole host of people. And if you mix all these ingredients together, combined with the qualities that we've got in the executive leadership team, it's a powerful organization going forward. And therefore, the inheritance of my successor, I think, is a damn good one that can actually enable success from the minute they hit the chair.
Yeah, and I think certainly as a member of the executive team, I feel the difference in the dynamic of the boardroom and the levels of energy, the levels of expertise, and the ways in which the board members challenge one another as well as as well as executive members, and it's a really powerful dynamic in the boardroom, and their passion and their interest in lots of different areas really comes to bear. But actually, I was speaking of passion, and you've mentioned that too, Sandy. You and I've worked together for maybe kind of 3.5 years now or something, and your passion always comes through as well, and your pride and care for the institution as chair. And I was going to ask you, looking back on your time with us, whether there's anything in particular that you're most proud of or something that's been the most worthwhile part of being the chair of the SRUC board.
Yeah, no, sure, Caroline. I mean, I make no apologies for the pride and passion I've got for SRUC. It all starts, you see, because it's 50 years ago now since I first walked through Peter Wilson Building as a student in agricultural economics. And at that time, the building was shared between Edinburgh University and the East of Scotland College of Agriculture. So my journey and my relationship with the entity that today is called Scotland's Rural College started 50 years ago. And even after I graduated, I didn't lose connection with it, because working in economic development in the Highlands and Islands, when you were looking for leadership in the local community and for good advice, you turned to what we called then the college advisor, which is today part of the consulting team. And they were part and partial of the economic delivery team. So nothing but a high regard, high respect. So when I stepped out of full-time employment and became a non-executive, it was the thrill of my life when I saw an advert for, as it was at the time, Scottish Agricultural College Board looking for non-executives. And when I got the phone call from Jamie Lindsay, who was then the chair, to say, "You've been successful," I really was delighted. So I've had 11 fantastic years in the boardroom, and we've come through some difficult times. But the things that really fill me with pride and a number of things. The graduation days are absolutely wonderful. You know, I sometimes use the term, it's a bit like harvest Thanksgiving, because it's when the crop comes home. You know, the students are celebrating their success. The staff rightly should be celebrating, because they've made such an impact on a young person's career. And we've got the family. The family are all together, and we can share in the incredible success of our students. The other time that I really enjoy is actually things like the Royal Highland Show, because the Royal Highland Show, there isn't another institution, I would say, where you've got an annual reunion of your graduates over a four-day period in the summer in Scotland. And we uniquely do that because so many alumni from SRUC come together at Ingolston and actually get the chance to meet up and make new friends and everything else. Another highlight for me, Caroline, if I can mention it, was I was so lucky. 4 months into my term as chair, and Wayne got the phone call to say that we had won a Queen's Anniversary Award for further and higher education. And I could just hear him. He was almost speechless, which takes a little bit of doing, I might add, but he was silent because of the incredible joy in his heart for this success. And then it led us down to Buckingham Palace. We had a dinner in the Guildhall in London, which I'd only heard about and seen on the television. And then there was the investiture, the awards ceremony the next day, when Professor Pearl and Professor Mike Coffey received the award. And that was, I'll never forget that moment. It was a truly fantastic time. So many, many happy moments. I could go on forever, but time doesn't allow us.
Well, actually, though, your reflections are so interesting, Sandy, because and it bears out so much about what SRUC is about at its heart, which is about the people, be it our students, the way our colleagues, their excellence and success, and our alumni and the network that brings together and brings to bear. And certainly, I've worked in this in the education sector for 22-ish years, and I've not met an institution like SRUC before. I've not met an institution that's so kind of thoroughly ingrained into and deep understanding of its industries and that deep connection with its people, the land and its people. And so that's so interesting. It's just, I'd find that so interesting that you know, it's the people connection that you've brought out so strongly. I'm going to move us on a little bit and talk maybe directly to any candidates considering this role. And from your perspective, Sandy, what advice you'd give them, other than go for it, as I can hear your passion coming through for it. But are there any areas of advice that you would give someone considering this role?
Well, absolutely. You've anticipated what I would say. It's a huge privilege to be the chair of this organization. It has been for me, and it will be for my successors in the years ahead. I'm in no doubt about that. Thanks to particularly Professor Wayne Powell and others, we've got a very clear strategy. We know what this organization's vision and mission is, and it's powerful. And I should have said, Caroline, that, you know, when we've been recruiting non-executives, so many of them have actually said to us at interview, they love what we say and how we say it and what we do. And they've really bought into the purpose of the organization, and they want to help us on the journey to become an enterprise university based on the natural economy. So it's a very exciting. And, you know, the inheritance for the person who takes over is just hitting the ground running. It doesn't mean there won't be change. Of course, there will be some changes. No organization stands still that's worth its salt, but there will be changes going forward. But we are uniquely placed to actually help Scotland's rural communities and beyond Scotland in terms of, you know, the whole question of green recovery and addressing big issues like climate change. It's a very special institution, and it's a real privilege to be its chair.
What's it like being a candidate? Can you cast your mind back to going through the process last time? What should any candidates prepare themselves for?
I think I was lucky in a sense. I only had to apply and to be interviewed by a panel and then be then recommended to the board. It's a more interesting process this time because candidates will obviously have to apply. And then I think the chair election committee will determine if they meet the criteria. And then they will make a recommendation about those candidates that will go forward for election. And I think that presents another real opportunity for the candidates who reach that stage of the process, because they'll have to either create a personal statement or they'll have to do a podcast or some sort of communication that will actually say to the electorate why they should be the chosen candidate. So I think it's a really interesting role and or process. And I think though the person appointed will know that they've been through a very rigorous process of selection and then election, and they truly have the right to be the chair of the organization going forward.
Yeah, and I think certainly some of the conversations that we've been having institutionally about how to encourage engagement with our colleagues and our students in order to get them out to vote and involved in this process are proving really interesting, actually, in terms of how we communicate this to our staff and students. But I was wondering whether from your perspective, Sandy, you know, this is a really important moment for our institution, for our colleagues and our students to play a part in. And what would you say to them about why they should care about this appointment? There is a risk that it's seen as something out of their reach or lofty when it really isn't. It's deeply connected to the institution. Why should they get involved and get out and vote as part of this election process?
I think that's a really important question. My response is they should cast their mind back, because for many years now, we have been messaging that we want to become a university. And I think there'll be some members of staff and some former students will say, well, we've heard it several times, but we're not seeing the evidence of it yet. Well, actually, we're there now, because we've made the application, as you know, only too well, Caroline, for top degree awarding powers. and we're just entering a period of scrutiny. So this isn't anything other than an absolute clear signal. We are determined. We're on our way. We intend to become an enterprise university. And I think that will be achieved in the next 5 to 8 years, that sort of time scale. And it does take that time because we have to get taught degree awarding powers. We then will need to apply and be successful for research degree awarding powers. Then ultimately, we need to be given and awarded the title, as you know, of university. So I think we will be a university in our own right very shortly. And I think, like all universities, we should behave accordingly. And every other university in Scotland does exactly what we're doing at the moment. We invite staff, we invite students, and of course the existing board, I shouldn't forget them, to actually elect the next chair of the organisation. I feel very strongly it's our right to do so. This took an act of parliament to create the right for staff and students to actually elect the chairs of the organisation. Let's exercise that right. And let's, in a few months' time, we will actually hear through the company secretary the name of the successful candidate. And people can look back and say, I cast my vote.
This takes me really into a kind of a final question, which is more of a reflection from you, Sandy, kind of looking back and saying, I made that count. What will you miss the most about being the chair of the SIUC board?
Yeah, there have been times, you know, I live in the Highlands, and again, I don't apologise for that. I wouldn't wish to live anywhere else. But there's no doubt living in the Highlands has been quite challenging in terms of, because I don't like when it's not a pandemic, to be actually based here in the Highlands. I like to get out and about and to meet and to engage with staff and stakeholders, both internal and external. But that's clearly not possible at the moment. So the original delivery of the role of chair was fairly time consuming and travel and so forth. But I accepted that. You know, nothing pleases me more than a train journey from Inverness to Edinburgh or Inverness to Dumfries, whatever. So be it. I just get on and do it. But the real joy for me is about meeting people. You know, what will I miss? I'll miss every single member of staff I've met. And I'll really miss the ability to actually talk to students. And as I say, the pinnacle of that is when we have the graduation ceremony. So I'll miss that enormously. But hey, I'm going to be watching and listening and not disappearing. And therefore, I want to continue. But it is, you know, when you hear so many of our staff actually achieving 40 to 50 years service for the organization, some people will say, that's amazing. Well, I'm not really amazed because it's that sort of organization. People have a vocation. They're driven, a passion to actually support rural communities, to support individuals, to realize their potential. And I've been lucky to be part of it. So I'll simply be a member of that wider alumni. But whenever possible, I will try to re-engage with the people of the organization.
That's a great place to finish. Thanks, Sandy. Really appreciate your time today. So if you want to learn any more about applying for this role, there is a link in the show notes of this podcast, or you can visit aspenpeople.co.uk/SRUC.